Let us all say amen. I want to thank Brother Curry for that song, because Jesus rose with all power in his hand. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, that if Christ be not risen, then our faith and our hope is in vain. It's because that he rose again that we have an opportunity to live eternally with God. And we're thankful for the sacrifice that Christ made for all of us, that we may have the opportunity to go to heaven when this life is over, when the Lord returns. And we're thankful for that. I want to also thank our brothers, Brother Daniels, Brother McNeil, for their prayers on this afternoon that they offered. Thank our brother for reading, Brother Butte, for reading scripture for us on this afternoon. Those that preceded me that served, Brother Foreman, as he has done on many occasions, leading us through our communion and our offering to the Lord. And we're thankful for that. We're just thankful for all of you for being on the call on this afternoon. And hopefully your hearts are such that you'll want to hear another word from the Lord, as Brother Brooks shared this morning. Our responsibility, and thankful for those that the comments and the prayers that were made, that we will stand with the Word of God. We are fallible creatures, and that we may at times make decisions that may not be consistent at times with things and matters. However, when it comes to the Word of God, we're going to stay with the book and preach book, chapter, and verse, and what thus said the Lord. And we're going to do our part to study those things that are written in the Word, that you can basically, we are mailmen simply delivering the mail, what has already been sealed, and we're just delivering it. It was sealed from Genesis through Revelation, and it's our responsibility to share that letter, that message that has been given, as we'll do on this afternoon. If you're with us this afternoon and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want to encourage you to make that decision that you need to make. And I want to say to you, the most important decision that any person that is of the age of accountability can make, and that decision is to obey the Lord and become a Christian according to the Bible, having been taught the things in the Bible, those five acts that one must participate in order to become a Christian. There are five acts of worship that we're participating in now, but the most important decision that one can make in this lifetime is to obey the Lord and become a Christian. Because if you fail in that, to make the right decision when it comes to that, you cannot, as Jesus said it clearly in John chapter 8, and the verse is number 21. Let me read that for you. Jesus said this in John chapter 8, and verse number 21. The same John we're reading from today. Jesus said in John 8:21, then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Wherever I go, you cannot come. So if a person died in their sins, never having their sins forgiven or washed away, never coming in contact with the blood of Jesus, Jesus said it, you cannot go where he is gone. He's in heaven with the Father. Jesus said, you cannot come. So that's why the importance is to be made, Brother Brooks and myself, to make sure it is done with clarity, that a person understands. So when they make a decision, as I oftentimes when we teach the VIP class, my responsibility when I'm in that VIP class is to allow that person that comes to that visitor's class to be able to make an informed decision. In other words, make sure that they have the information that they need necessary. And if they choose not to obey the Lord, that decision then becomes between them and God. We have a responsibility, and also as a church, we have a responsibility that we share with individuals what the will of God is, giving them an opportunity to obey the Lord. And so on this afternoon, having said that, again, those that are with us, this afternoon we're continuing in the book of John, looking at 1 John chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse number 9, 1 John chapter 3, and the verse is number 9 as we look at the subject this afternoon, that we should love one another. That's what John wrote. John writes to Christians about possessing the spirit of love. And I want to talk about that this afternoon because sometimes if we're not careful, we may not manifest the spirit that God wants us to have. And I want to say that, you know, sometimes you can observe behavior. And as the writer talks about, love is something that can be seen. It's an action that we'll talk about today. And then when we don't care for other people, that also is noticeable. You know, when we have the little tensions against one another, that can be known. You can watch people and you can see how sometimes we call ourselves Christian. We say we love one another, but your actions, and that's what John's going to talk about today. But the point he made, as we read, thank Brother Butte for reading this afternoon, the point that he made, oftentimes when you see the word that in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, on some occasions, and many occasions, when you see the word that, there's a action behind the word that. And the that here is, we should love one another. That should be the action that we find. But let's go into what John is saying as we look into the text. John says, whosoever, verse 9, 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. And we talked about that, and the word commit here means practice or does not keep doing sin. He said, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot continually sin because he is born of God. Then the Bible says, in this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So in this verse, John shows that those that are the children of God, the word manifest is able to be seen or is visible. Then he said, those that are also of the devil. He said, whosoever practice not doing what's right, which is righteousness, is not of God. The John said, neither he that loveth not his brother. So if I'm not trying to practice what is right, John said, I'm not of God. I'm not a child of God. He said also in that same category goes to person that does not love his brother. If the Christian does not love another Christian, then are we actually the child of God? If the Christian does not love another Christian, are we actually children of God? John talks about that. He says, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should notice now, love. That's my title. This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. What beginning was that? Well, in John chapter 13, turn over there, the same John that wrote this letter. In John chapter 13, and the verse is number 34, John says, a new commandment I give unto you. He was talking to those disciples back then. A new commandment. The commandment is that ye love one another. He said, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So it's the responsibility of the Christian. That's what we're talking about this afternoon, that we love one another. And love can only can be known only by from the action that it produces or that it causes. You know, when you have love for another individual, it will produce certain actions. And John said in John 13:34 that God said, as I have loved you, God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son. So that love that God had for man motivated him to do what he did, that ye love one another. So how does the New Testament describe Christian love? Just want to share some points in John's writings this afternoon, because he talks about love virtually throughout the rest of this chapter. He's talking about love, comparing hatred to love. And notice now, there's only two sides. Either you love or you hate. We sometimes try to find the middle ground, but the middle ground as a Christian is not there. Either you love or you hate. But what I want to say is one thing, that Christian love is not an impulse from a feeling. Christian love is not an impulse. Christian love is a duty that one has that he does. Notice when in Romans 15 and verse number 2, we'll see Romans chapter 15 talking about how we describe love. In Romans 15 and 2, Paul told the Romans, let every one of you, us, every one of us, please his neighbor for his good to edification. In other words, what Paul was saying, that the word please him means to give pleasure to his neighbor for the neighbor's good, that it may build the neighbor up. And I want to say to us as Christians, we need to share things that build one another up and not that tear one another down. We had a brother on yesterday. Brother Brown came and visited us, and a group of us, brothers, as those that come by and drop off their communion, pick up their offering. We talked about it. He said, but what y'all doing here? And I said, let me just share this with you. I said, in the world, this would be like going to the barber shop where you have that barbershop conversation. I said, the difference here, this is Christian barbershop conversation where we talk about things that are relevant. However, we're always going to find that middle ground and find that Christian position in our conversation. You can discuss many matters, but the purpose of it is to try to build one another up that we discuss things. Sometimes I may be off on my view of Christianity, and somebody can straighten me up with the word of God to build me up. And so one of the things about Christian love, it is done to please another person, to that person being built up. And so, again, we sit around on those Saturdays and fellowship with one another, but it's good, wholesome Christian conversation. Do we agree on everything? No. But when there may not be agreement, where do you find agreement at? You find agreement in the Word of God. Yeah. Don't let a person that's a Christian say something and get away with it. No, where's your Bible for what you're saying? Where's your Christian position? Are you lining up with Jesus, or are you just lining up? And so we know that it's to the pleasing. But also, even in the Romans letter, stay in Romans 13, and the verse is number 10. Romans 13 and 10. How is Christian love described? Notice Paul told the Romans in Romans 13 and 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And so what Paul was telling the Romans is that when you have love, love don't do nobody wrong. You don't play or hate on nobody. You don't mistreat nobody. Not when you're a Christian, not toward his neighbor. You don't do wrong toward your neighbor. But why? Because you possess the love that the Lord wants us to have. So again, love don't wrong nobody. And I want to say to all of us, we have impulses. We have feelings. When you go against your conscience, if you have one and you know you've wronged somebody, you need to apologize to that person in whom you have wronged, because love worketh no ill or wrong to his neighbor. And then thirdly, I want to share from Paul's letter to the Galatians. We're talking about love, Galatians number 6. And as I go through this, you can actually challenge yourself to see whether you are the possessors of the love that God is talking about. You can either give yourself a check mark, give yourself an X, I got to work on it, or a question mark. Well, I'm not there now. The Word of God allows us to check ourselves where I am in my relationship. But in Galatians chapter 6 and the verse number 10, before Paul ended the letter to the Galatians, notice what he says in Galatians 6 and 10. As we, talk about Christians now, have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And the household of faith is none other than the church of Christ. So Paul said to them, as we have opportunity, in other words, when the situation is there, that you can do good unto all men. He said, now, especially when it comes to another Christian, he said, let us do good unto them. Let us do good. We're talking about that we should love one another. Yes, let us do good. If you have a situation where you can do good, do good. Do good. Yeah, God blesses you with an opportunity to do good to someone. Do good to someone as we have the opportunity, the situation arises. And then back in John's letter, so we're talking about love. Now, I've shown you three scriptures where love is pleasing, love worketh no ill, love takes advantage of an opportunity. And then John said, going back into the Old Testament, patriarchal time, he said, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. The wicked one means Satan, and slew his brother. He says, wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Cain became envious of his brother Abel, and because he was influenced by the devil, he murdered his brother. Do you as a Christian possess hatred for another Christian because you may be jealous of them? You know, we have to grow as Christians that we learn, and sometimes we have to learn this because the Bible instructs us when it comes to how we are to treat one another, that we, the Bible tells us back in the Romans letter, in Romans 12 and verse 15, the Bible said, Paul said, rejoice with them that do rejoice. When something good happens to another person, get married, purchase a home, buy a car, have something good happened to them, the Lord said, rejoice with them. I have joy with them. Then when someone loses a loved one, when something happens to a loved one, or someone is weeping, the Lord say, in like manner, weep with them that weep. The reason that, one of the reasons for supporting funerals is that you are showing sorrow with the person who is in sorrow. The Lord says, weep with them that weep. And so the Lord lets us know these are Christian characteristics, Christian attitudes that are influenced. When you have that love for you, when you have that love for you, you go outside of your comfort zone to do things for other people. You don't sit around with the envy that Cain had of his brother because his works was good and Cain's works was evil. And sometimes, even in the church, when those that do the will of God and appear to be blessed by others, and then those that are not doing right, you want to hate on the person that's doing right. And Cain hated on his brother because his brother had did that which was acceptable to God, do right, and there would not be a reason to be envious of another person. And then John said, when it comes to the world, he said, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. He said, don't be surprised when you carry yourself as a Christian that on your job you may not be well liked because of the fact you trying to carry yourself as a Christian. You're not carrying yourself worldly and looking worldly. And some of us are dressing worldly, that we blend in with the worldly people. But you carry yourself that they can see that you are a Christian. But John said that the hatred of those that try to do good by those that display bad isn't new. You know that when you're trying to carry yourself, understand this here. Don't be surprised. Don't be amazed. Don't be astonished when those people don't care for you. When you are trying to have a wholesome home and your home, you're trying to raise your kids right, and those that are not doing that are envious and jealous for you. John is letting them know that comes with the territory. Don't marvel at that when they hate you, John said. He said, we know, verse 14, that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So John said, we know that we pass from spiritual death unto spiritual life. How? Why? Because we love brothers. We've been baptized for the remission of our sins, and now we love the brotherhood. We love people. And John reiterates, if you don't love your brother, understand this here, you are spiritually dead. He said that in the earlier verse. You are spiritually dead. He said that in 1 John 2:9. He that says he is in the light and hated his brother is in darkness even until now, John said. And I'm trying to reemphasize to those of us, hopefully the Lord say the same. We had our meeting today, and we're looking forward to the building. Those thank Brother Miles for putting those pictures. So you can see now they've moved out. I'm talking about those that are that assembled at 1005 West Little York. They moved the pews out, and we're moving forward on restoring the building so we can come and worship. And hopefully when you come back into that building, you check yourself at the door that you don't walk in that building having ill will toward anybody inside that building. If it is, you need to repent before you come in and work on your heart. That's what John is saying. You need to work on yourself. John said, hereby hereby. He says, whosoever, excuse me, verse 15, whosoever hated his brother, John says, is a murderer. And John said, I want you to know this. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. John says, whosoever, and the word hated here means having a desire to cause harm to another person. See, sometimes we say, well, I haven't done nothing. No, but if you want to hurt them, or if you are one that gets joy when something bad happens to one, someone you may not care for, that's a spirit of hatred. John said, now the word murder here meant the act of killing another person, a manslayer, committing homicide. But John said in this text, understand this, if you hate another brother, he said, that is murder. The Christian can display the spirit of a murderer in his or her treatment to another Christian. Sometimes we treat people like we killed them. Or sometimes, if we're not careful, we can kill the spirit of another person by how we treat that individual. You know, it should never be a case where someone comes in, you're dealing with another Christian, and the Christian speaks to you, and you don't have the appropriateness to speak back to them in a kindly manner. That's Christianity, that you speak to people as they spoke to you. You show kindness toward another person. John says, as he gives us a physical example in verse 17, but whoso has this world's good, God has blessed you to possess things, and seeth his brother have need. John says, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? In other words, John said, you see a person, a brother, that have a need, and what you do, you close your door of compassion from that person. You know that person has a need. You know someone is in trouble, and you can help that person. And you choose to close your doors. John calls it the bowels of compassion. John asked the question, how dwelleth the love of God in you? That's what John said. How dwelleth the love of God in you? Then he says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You know, lip service is one thing. Lip service, that's what John is saying. John basically saying, talk is cheap. Yeah, talk is cheap. He said, but let us do it in deed and in truth. And hereby, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him, or we'll have confidence before him. He said, but then he says, well, our hearts condemn us. God is greater than our heart, and our heart, and God knoweth all things. Our God, our heart, the heart of God is omnipotent. The heart of God knows everything. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Brother Kirby shared on this morning, the omniscience of God, all-knowing, all-powerful. God knows everything. So he said, even if our heart may condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. He said, beloved, if our heart don't condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Then you can trust in God, John says. If our heart don't condemn us, then we have the confidence that we need toward God. And then John said, and whatsoever we ask, because of the confidence, John said, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So John said, when you live the life of a Christian, we've already talked about how none of us as Christians are sinless, but our goal in life is to sin less. John identifies that 1 John 1:7-9, that we're all going to sin. We're all going to sin, but we're trying to work on ourselves. And John said, and this is his commandment, verse 23, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And notice now, he goes repeats again, and love one another. As he gave us, he's talking about John 13:4, as he gave us this commandment, Jesus gave us the commandment in John 13, that ye love one another. John was saying, Jesus gave us the commandment that we love one another. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. If you're keeping the commandments of God, then we talked about how Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. John said, if you keep the commandments, then Christ dwells in your heart and he in him. And hereby, we know that he abideth in us. How do we know that? By the Spirit, which he has given us. God has given us his Spirit in the Word. The Spirit works through the Word. So we have the Word of God that influences our behavior. That's how the Spirit works. The Spirit can only work through the Word of God. In other words, you've heard today that we should love one another. I've tried to share with you from the Word of God to influence your behavior. If there's someone that you know as a Christian that you have ill toward, then work on yourself, correct yourself, and do that which is right toward that person that you can be pleasing in the eyesight of God. And so again, that's my message on this afternoon, that we should love one another. Want to look at the scripture and look at the text and preach the text. This is text preaching, where we preach what the Word of God said through the apostle whom he gave to pen these letters. So John's message this afternoon for those that are listening is that we love one another as he gave us this commandment. And now, if you are not a member of the Church of Christ, the first word that you show love for God, John said that, the same John that wrote this first John, he said in John chapter 14 and verse number 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And his commandment is that 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, that we hear the gospel of three facts, that Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross. He suffered 6 hours on that cross. He died on that cross. He was buried in a tomb. He rose from the dead, never to die again. You have to believe that. And then one is to repent of their sins, meaning you turn from the life you've been living. It begins with you turning toward God and toward the Word of God. You then make the confession that we find in Acts 8:37, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You make the statement of what you believe in your heart according to the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then one must be water baptized for the remission of your past sins, and then the Lord will add you to the Church of Christ, Romans 16:16, the only church that you can find in the Bible. If there's someone today, we want you to get with the person that invited you on the call that you can become a Christian, be water baptized for the remission of your sins. I thank you very much for your patience this afternoon.